Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, LA. Ilana Europa every Monday on LA Talk Radio. Okay, 6, still 7 p.m. Pacific time. And this is, I can say, one of the coolest days of my life. I really like Mondays. Most people hate Mondays, but I love Mondays because of Accent On and because of the pleasure that every Monday I really have a big pleasure to bring great guests to my studio. Sometimes they are calling in. Sometimes we are calling to them. Sometimes we are calling to different continents. Sometimes we have just amazing guests in the studio. And honestly, this is the time that I cherish the most, because having guests here, seeing them, saying hi to them, giving them hugs, sometimes pictures, and knowing them better. Oh boy, that's what I am living and breathing for. I have today an amazing guest, but this guest is my friend. Then I can say I know him very, very well. Although every time when I see him, and he's like twice, three times a year, every time when it's some big, good reason for him to come to radio, we are celebrating, I think, our friendships, but mostly the big artistry in him. He's a really, really big artist. And I can say only David Arkenstone in our studio live.
Good evening.
Hi. Can
good
you
evening.
Be more excited?
I'm David? Excited.
Yes, David I'm is excited. Excited. And woo! Also, we have one more guest in our studio. You will join us, yes, hopefully for a whole hour, Jeff Floro.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I know, but you know what? You are like, you know, LA Talk Radio, and LA Talk Radio knows you, and millions of people listening to you for so long. Can you tell us a little bit what is your show about and why you are here?
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have David on later on the show. It's called The Flow Guitar Enthusiast, and it's basically all about guitar. So we talk about tone is the primary thing. And I've been a big fan of David for years. In fact, I've pulled clips for a bunch of your albums. You're going to have
awesome.
We're going to put you
awesome
to the test to remember how to do all, what you did on all of those. But
that is a test.
No, it was really one of the things about New Age music that was really important to me was at the time it came out, that's where it was happening, especially in keyboards, electronics, the types of synth things that they were doing at the time, and David was doing, that was really the hip place to be for keyboards. And he was a big influence, not just be, you know, guitar, but on our show, we're going to talk about his guitar playing.
No, here, and I was saying to David before we came to the studio, David, I really want to talk a little bit about you. And he's like, I'm like, please, we'll be playing your music. Of course, we always do. But people don't get it, I think, listeners, to having artists in the studio who from 1987 releases albums after albums and has 3 Grammy nominations. He has 20 Billboard hits and millions of fans worldwide in a genre that I don't know if you discovered, you created, but for sure you were one of these people.
He was one of the first.
One of the first.
I would agree with that.
You know,
he was there at the beginning of it.
You know, and yeah, we are talking 1987. I'm telling you, David, you need to start talking. Because I know listeners know your music. We know and breathe your music. We were shopping in the malls listening to your music. Your music is like next to us in so many movies, so many different places. And maybe people don't even know that it's your music. But there are people who play games. They probably know very well your name, because we need to talk about this too. Because there's some branding that you did in what time? 2000 probably?
Probably 2010.
Gosh!
A big game.
Yeah, tell me the name of
World of Warcraft.
One more time.
Yeah, World of Warcraft.
People, my daughter, I don't know how old she was when she brought this little, you know, game and say, Mama, that's so cool. And then she said, oh, is this David that I know? Is he? Oh, and my daughter is Natasha Mira. Hi. She's just, this girl has always headphones on in her ear. And she listens to scores. She listens to you over and over. And obvious, like I said, we know you for so many years, and I know and breathe your music, and we sometimes had cute shows together in very unusual places, I may say, and it's something probably that yeah,
it's all part artist of the big ball, you know. It's all the same.
It's true.
It's all the same. I don't care what it is.
And
it's music.
I still have in my home a few things I need to give you, because we were packaging or hoping to package our great DVDs with wine, mm-hmm, and didn't get us anywhere in a way for whatever reason. But the idea was great, and I still believe that your music, sure, and some of my music, you know, is just perfect for this reason, that people, mm-hmm, can give great presents to each other and listen, watch on a big screen, and not only listen to music, but still like be inside of the visuals that we had prepared for that. It was a really good project, and we come back. We'll come back to it probably 1 year from now or two. We'll see. When we get older and have nothing better to do. Okay. Jeff, you told, you just explained very nicely that you think David was one of the first when it comes to electronic music, and the genre that in 1987 got created mainly by David was called again
New Age music.
Wasn't created by me, but
yeah, I know.
You know what's strange about that?
Yes,
is that when I came to the, like, there was a lot of my life before 1987.
No, mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, that was my first record, Valley in the Clouds. But before that was a lot of time when I was a rocker. That's mm-hmm. it. I just wanted to play rock music and be like Emerson, Lake and Palmer and the Beatles. And when I sort of got tired of the band thing, because singers kept flaking or whatever, people just weren't reliable. At that time, synthesizers and computers started to communicate with each other. And that was a major moment when that happened, because now I could make all this sound. I didn't need so many people. I could visualize. I could make music that I was visualizing. Yeah. And that was a really important step, I think, for me.
Do you remember the first song, beautiful piece of music that you wrote? And you're like, wow, I created something that this could be a future for another 28, 30 years.
Yeah, well, I had piano songs that I had done, and then I was able to
orchestrate
to orchestrate them with other sounds against the piano. So,
and you knew that a vision that you had in your head, now you can recreate
right,
because
exactly
of that. And you mentioned title of your first album. I think everybody needs to remember and go to the store or iTunes and buy right away.
You can't go to a store anymore.
I know. I
go to Amoeba, maybe.
Are you sure that Best Buy is something you can order?
It's hard to find. Yeah, sure.
You can order.
It's easier at Amazon.
That's where
then
I always
Give us, because the title is not easy. Valley in the Clouds.
Yes.
And this album lead you to something very beautiful. I understand, you know, not only you really, really capture people's hearts and minds, but also ballet was created to this album?
They did. Well, let me back up for a second, because first of all, a lot of people put out records. I was extremely fortunate that people liked the journey that I had painted. I mean, a lot of people put out a record and that's it. You know, so I was lucky that people liked the way I put sounds together and the songs I created. And one of the songs, Valley in the Clouds, was the Winnipeg Ballet used it for their 50th anniversary. The Michael Peters, the choreographer for Michael Jackson, took it and they did a whole number to it. And I went up there and it was freezing, but it was great.
Michael Jackson choreographer for what song? Do you remember?
He did Beat It. He did all kinds of stuff with Michael Jackson. Too? Yeah, probably Thriller. I don't know.
That's
I think it
I
was
read.
Thriller. Yeah.
Come on, man. I read the Thriller.
I know, but you're talking about things I haven't read in years. You're like,
oh, you're so
you're like
sweet.
Updated.
I need it. Of course, I need it. I know you well. You are my friend. And like when you enter home, it's like, I know you're my friend. But really, you come with this aura of greatness. You are. And I think we need to cherish big artists like you because it's not so many running around that they, like we said before we enter the studio, you said that's what you do. That's who you are. You have no different option.
That's
longevity.
Right. I have no choice.
You have actually. No choice. You know, a lot of people, a lot of musicians, they take turns left, right. Oh, I will be for 2-3 years doing that. Then I come back to music. Then, but really with you, before you said you were a rocker and you just hated the bad side of the crazy business that you cannot rely on many people.
Yeah.
And
I don't
then,
know if I hated it, but it got old.
Got
especially
old.
With when you have little babies or something, you start going, gee, this is a little rougher than I thought it was going to be at first. But I never stopped being grateful that I touched people with my music.
Yeah.
Because it's rare, I think.
But when I see you on a stage, you are including so many instruments. And well, obviously, a rocker in you exists in the
yes,
show.
Yes, of course.
Duh! Not yeah. only way how you look, how you move, how you clothe, you
yeah.
know. But you just, yeah, you surround yourself by almost every genre that you decide to yeah. in time when you put the show on.
Well, even when I was a rocker, I loved classical music. So the show is all those things put together that make me. You
yes.
know, that I want to communicate to people.
And you have very European like blood in you. Could you tell us a little bit,
well,
who were your parents?
My parents were from the United States, but their parents were from Italy and Sweden.
That's pretty
and,
nice
and so,
European roots. And
yeah, that was pretty good.
Are you going sometimes to Europe?
Yeah, I was in Helsinki last year for a little while and passed through Sweden. And I spent a month in Paris last year, which I really loved.
Yeah, I've never been in Paris. That's
awesome.
Crazy. I'm a Polish person.
You should go.
I'll take Natasha with us this year. We are going, you know, all over Europe. I cannot wait.
Do a river cruise. Then you can see a whole bunch of cities and stuff.
Oh, yeah, but then you are stuck. You're stuck a little bit. Like not
you are 80, stuck a little bit.
80%, yeah. Then you do what they ask you. I have friends everywhere, and that's what makes
okay.
me exciting. Really,
well, that's good.
Yeah, England, you know, Germany, and Brussels, my daughter, the first daughter, bigger one, is there. Then I would love to meet my grandchild. I'm saying officially,
oh, yes.
I cannot believe I am grandma. And I didn't meet yet my yes, beautiful Nella, grandchild. That's what I want to see this year, too. And, of course, go to see Poland. Anyway, Jeff, if you have any questions, please just...
I do have a question.
Yes.
Because this is...
I will be playing music, I promise, right after.
No.
It's talk radio. What do you mean?
It's true. You're going through your... Yeah, one of my favorite albums of yours is Another Star in the Sky. I just think that's a great piece of work.
Thanks.
But I wanted to ask you, did you study orchestration? Because your orchestrations are pretty elaborate.
You know, I studied it in school, in college, and I did the assignments, and I learned about string writing, but it never was like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you start doing it and being able to hear each instrument as you're writing, using synthesizer, whatever it is, then I felt like I had a good start. Like I wasn't starting from zero with that. So, and I just love, I mean, orchestration to me is like 50% of a lot of music.
Yeah. What I mean, the thing that amazes me is your counterpoint. That's not something easy to learn. And, you know, it's, you know, you can go in there and put the strings in and, you know, especially on synthesizers
yeah.
and all of us, you know, but it, to get it to interact. And some of the clips
yes.
I'll play on our show later with the guitar, the interplay with him. He has interplay with, like, he'll have, like, a string quartet with the acoustic guitar, and the counterpoint, to me, is very important. That, to me, is really important.
I don't know if people know, but, Jeff, you are a highly educated guitarist, too. You finished USC.
Mm-hmm.
What did you study there?
I was the first major in studio guitar.
And nice. And for years you are working also in this business and creating just in many different ways. Could you give us a little
bit? I've done arranging and stuff like that. I've had to write string charts for orchestra, so I can really appreciate what you're doing. Yeah. I was in the early days, I was doing a lot of session work, and I used a lot of different guitars and stuff. That's obviously why I'm a guitar maniac.
And funny way, you know everybody who is anybody in this business when it comes to guitar world. And that's what is just so exciting. People who come through this studio sometimes with these amazing instruments, and you all are like family. It's just so beautiful. Anyway, we need to play something.
Okay.
Okay, and you tell me which song. Inamorata, that's so beautiful.
Play that one.
Just tell me the title, why.
Inamorata? That's the name of my newest album with my partner, Charlie Brooks. And it just means like a girl in love, basically, in Italian. And the album is kind of like that. It's kind of a romantic album.
And we had a beautiful radio show probably a year and a half ago,
yeah,
I think.
We
were presenting all the beautiful story behind this gorgeous mm-hmm. album. And again, everybody needs to run to the Amazon and purchase something with beautiful, beautiful voice of Charlie.
Mm-hmm. They can't purchase this yet, unfortunately.
Come on, why?
This is not going to be out until February. So this is like an exclusive preview.
Wow. Okay. Let's play it.
Of love to guide you through waters deep.
Hi, Charlie. I just am looking into my email and I see you are writing to me 5:30. Yes, if you are listening to the show, I would love you, love you, love you to call us. Please, 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 please. Then, okay. Yes, I just need to give you probably my our phone number, 323-203-0815. David just wrote this number, and hopefully you will get the text. And please, please, hopefully. We just played, you know, played your vocals are amazing. You know, a year ago, 2 years ago, I remember us a little bit, you know, talking about music, talking about your dreams, and you really, really grew so beautifully. I had a pleasure to also be on your live show with big, beautiful production. You need to tell something, because people don't get it. Not only you can listen to the music, but you can just follow sometimes David's live performing. And this is not like David and guitar. This is like production. And the big one, last one, when I saw it, was in
Glendale. It was in Glendale.
Yes. Could you tell us a little bit about this album and how all of this idea came about? Because that, to me, was bigger than life. And I was so proud of you and Charlie and all the and your manager, you know, also.
Thanks. I just want to backtrack for a second to that song you just played, because I haven't heard it in a couple of weeks because it's brand new. And it's amazing the things you know, when you hear it on different systems, you know, it's a lot of times I run out to the car right after I've made a mix, you know, because I have a pretty good system, or it's pretty true, I guess you'd say. And it sounded pretty good. And almost all those strings were samples, and I have grown up with the sampling technology. There was one of the first samplers was called a Mirage keyboard. It was like two notes and very primitive samples. So,
Is this Charlie writing us?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And so it's been it's just a miracle the kind of sound you can make now, all by yourself, if you have a little education or no education, unfortunately.
I just love it.
But the key thing here that I think makes it work, and all of your string stuff from all of your albums has always been killer, but it's how you write it. Because he writes like real, it's
for real
orchestra. I mean, it's written the correct way.
Yeah, okay, just tell us a little bit about this album, and then we'll come back. Because
so that goes on to orchestrating for the live show, which is called David Arkenstone's Symphonic Adventure.
Yes.
So when it came to doing that, I took there was a lot of music that had never been played by an orchestra before. So I had the opportunity to bring that to life, sort of, so to speak, by orchestrating it all and being able to play it live.
A very cool show.
It was great. Well, we had Cirque de la Symphony with us.
Yes.
We had some great soloists. It was like a blur. That was
amazing. And then you went onto something even bigger, because I think public TV station all around the country
were
playing
at
PBS.
And we're booking it for the end of 2015 now in some places, in 2016.
So. How we can find, of course, everybody can go to your website and of course, Facebook under your name. We can find all information. But the journey, I was saying, we need to just talk to you a little bit about past and then go to what's going on right now, which means we have some music that I want to play. And really, this one with Charlie Brooks, this is the newest project?
Yeah, it's the newest, although I had one come out about 3 weeks ago called Native Chill.
Yeah, and you called into the studio, and it was on a day of release. I feel so, I am proud to have you around, because that's stepping stone in your career and also stepping stone in public, who just loves you and loves to listen to everything what you put out. And this is it's really... It's you, really, the chill album.
It is. I like that kind of music. You know, especially nowadays, with so many sounds you can make, it's like you're a painter. It's like you're a painter, really. You know, if you put together a good guitar track with some drums, you know, and then color it, it's cool. You know, some of it goes back to like the 60s for me, where there was just some simple music and jam music that went for a long time. You know, like the back of a Moby Grape album might have one song on it or something, you know.
Yeah. Hey,
or some of those live albums, you know.
Okay,
like,
you know,
really
do you
cool.
Do you think we can play something?
Yeah, you Which won't one? Be anything like that.
Do you want? I know. But
play,
do you want,
play Believe?
Yeah, that would be good. Probably Believe. Okay. Yeah. What can you tell us about this?
Well, this song? Is the first track on the record, so I wanted to kind of, you know, when they say playing against type, like for an actor, he doesn't play what he usually plays.
Yes.
So I wanted the album to start with a. Be gentle instead of like, you know, try to hammer the consumer over the head so they, you know, like that's part of the reason they buy. And I don't believe that. So I wrote this string thing that's sort of like, Such you know, just come in and join us on this thing. So that's how that song started. And then it goes into piano.
And this will be, this is number one, yes, on your album. And how many tracks we have on the album?
There's 12. We actually did some covers.
Woohoo! Let's play Believe.
Thank you.
beautiful, beautiful. This cannot be better timing for Charlie Brooks calling us. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Alona. How are you?
I'm feeling really, really great because I can hear your voice singing. And I'm your biggest fan, really, and from the beginning. And also I have David with us in the studio, Jeff Flora, who will steal David in an hour and a half to his show, and they will be talking guitars and the sound of the guitars. But now your voice. Girl, you changed this guy music in a way a lot. Is this true?
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
I think that I say that your music and your presence and your voice change a lot of David's music and his 3 years or 2.5 or 3 years there. Very unusual things are happening when it comes to how he writes, what he writes, and you are a big part also on what we are listening to right now.
Yeah. We had a lot of experimental stuff going on last album, and I think this album's a little bit more pop driven, a little neoclassical. So it was really fun to work on, and I'm pretty excited about it. I feel like it's a good expression of myself in English this time. So
yeah, the last album. But that was your idea. People don't know, but your last album, you had very unusual language that you were singing in. You created the language and it was very mystical. I think it was a beautiful idea. And again, whatever all of you put up on the stage and the great show plus unusual language, when you listen, you say, huh, I think I know what she's talking about. I know, but there are no words that I understand. But you made us believe in everything what you were singing. That was a very cool idea. And now you're a composer, yes, also. You're writing the songs.
Yes. This last album, I wrote all the lyrics and the melodies we worked together on, and David did the orchestration and arranging, and it was awesome. We brought David Davidson in on the violin again, and we worked with him on a project last year as well, so it's awesome. I think I'm really happy with the way that it sounds, and as always, David, knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, you're a lucky girl. Whatever you say, I know he also is lucky to have beautiful voice like that on his recordings, but you need to the pair need to be great when it comes to artistry. Just need to feel right. And I think you both create something very, very special that I would like to say congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And also would like to say that we have another small guest that is in the corner of our studio, and is your doggy. Is your doggy, who is behaving too good for the he doesn't bark, he sits in his tiny little home. Can you tell us your doggy's name?
His name is Foxy, and yes, he's been well trained. He grew up most of his childhood in the studio, so
amazing.
I'm glad to hear that he's behaving.
He's behaving. We are missing you here, but we have you live, and thank you again for calling. And hopefully next time, I know you are tired because you flew from somewhere. But next time, I'm hoping you'll be here and we'll be talking more and playing more of your songs. Yes?
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Charlie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Very special lady. Very, 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 very special lady.
Beautiful voice.
Beautiful voice, strong voice, but so gentle soul. Like I say, I know Charlie personally. She's just beautiful and very gentle soul. And her body language when she dances is pretty, pretty great too. She's a professional dancer.
Yes, and she was raised as a gymnast too.
She was doing crazy stuff in the air.
She can fly on the
beautiful girl, crazy. Very ambitious girl.
I'm surprised she went for that, but she did.
She did, and also she worked in a studio. Yes,
she's an engineer. sound engineer.
You got really great people around you. I know you are amazing, but takes a great, great guy, boss,
it takes
guy,
more than
brain.
One person.
But you are right, and the strength of smart men is to adding great people instead of saying, I can do all on my own, because really we don't. We need
It's not as fun like that. To me, anyway,
yes.
You know, like I could do everything
of course
myself.
You can. We all can.
I could do it on stage myself, but it's no fun. I like the interplay between musicians, and it gets bigger than your original vision.
Absolutely,
you know, and that's important.
Then, okay, time is running. 15 minutes we have. That's long. 15 minutes, but with all of us, will be very fast. And I'm just already getting nervous because I really want to find out what was happening after 2001, 2, and 3, because you, how many albums you released? 50-something?
Maybe 40-something.
No, I was on Amazon. It's 52.
All right.
I think.
I believe. Some of those are probably compilations, though.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. It's the best.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's a lot of albums.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But it's all I do. It's all I think
Absolutely.
About all the time. It's like one, like Native Chill is done. Okay, that's
what
done.
Next?
It's done. So I'm on to something else. Now I'm working on an opera, so it's taking up, you know, a lot of time. It's going to be years before it's in, before it's finished, but it's
original
really
music?
Exciting. Yeah, it's all brand new.
Who will be singing vocals?
I don't know. There's a lot of good
opera
singers.
I got one amazing guy for you, and Michael Pierre.
Oh, give me his card.
Yes. And he looks the part. Michael, you cannot believe. I'm pitching you, and you are in New York doing the great opera stuff. He's gorgeous. He is just amazing, amazing singer. And I'm saying, I know what I'm
singers.
Talking about.
We're
you will.
Need singers.
And I have a few, you know, one is really special. I had him on the show a few times.
But years ago, I wouldn't even try to write an opera. You know, I think
no.
all these little, but all these albums I've done have been steps leading to this experience, which is all in, it encompasses every inch of what I can do orchestration wise and being clever with vocals and instruments and using the orchestra as an instrument and everything like that. It's just fabulous. It's just
and
a
stage
a lot of time.
Next will be stage. Do you have a little dream to really make this opera?
Yes.
See, that
would
be genius.
I went into it thinking I would love, and maybe I've done this already, but I'm not, you know, an artist just keeps growing. You know, he doesn't sit back. So I'm trying to, the idea was to do something that is going to be around 100 years from now.
Aww.
And that's saying a lot.
Somebody can say you are very arrogant.
They can.
And
they
I
can.
Love it because they I can. Think you need to think this way. What will be left behind me?
Yes.
And you know what? Because you know that certain things will stay forever, for sure, when it comes to your style of music, way how you write.
Well, but something stuff on my first album still gets played on the radio or wherever
Absolutely.
You can hear music. It has a longevity to it. It hasn't fallen off. Like if I was doing pop music, some of those songs would be, you know, stuck to the time they were released in.
Time zone.
So
but
now,
opera, this is what I'm saying, arrogant in a beautiful way, because this is a bigger than life. It's something, style of music that in a way is still, I will say it, and if you can bring something new and change the classical way of thinking what the opera was, is from classical way of thinking into 2015 or 20th, whenever you decide that that's what will be like with all your past and unusual visions. I don't want to say, will you include the Celtic?
I don't know. There's some folk elements probably will end
you
up
need
being
to. You need to include everything. You need to. This needs to
it's
be
It's not
you.
That I want to throw. It will be me, but I don't want to throw every style I can do into it. You know, it's not a showpiece for me.
Yeah, if the main artist will be traveling all around the globe and he will be just, you know, I'm joking.
Whatever.
This is a beautiful idea. I think bigger than life.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's bigger. The biggest challenge I've ever looked at.
And I love, because you are very young, I love that you are thinking about something that, yes, you are, you know.
Yes, of course.
You are. We all are young. But do you think already about something that will be like stamping your name forever?
Yes.
And I know you will make it right. I know you
Thanks.
Will. Okay, I know you prohibited me to play one song that belongs only to Jeff Floro.
Well,
and I will not play to the king, but Jeff,
go ahead and play it. I pulled a clip from it. If you,
I will leave this.
I just wanted you to hear the solo, really.
Yeah, that's what I pulled.
Because the killer is really complete.
But we have one more beautiful song.
But you could play Invisible. The Lullaby. Yeah, you could. Well, we have room for one more song.
Yes, okay, then. Oh, we do. And I want to still a little bit talk about what albums you think change you in your life. Your album? Because I know certain songs of mine shook me to the ground. And
Songs you heard or songs you
wrote?
Did?
I wrote. And I sang. And just, they were like, from this moment on, something different was happening with me, you know, because you write, but the change is not only developing ourselves. Certain songs, certain art just changes your mind, and you say, okay, now I want to be for a little longer this or that, or just some drama or some unusual things that happen in life. Do you think you had one or two or three albums that you think shook you to the ground and say, oh, okay, no more rock? Which you still are playing a little bit, but
Can't get rid of that.
You cannot. You know, rock is always rock.
It's part of what makes my entire style, though.
Was something very painful in your life that you think the album just got written because of the biggest drama that you went through in
life? Before I did Another Star in the Sky, my mother passed away, and she was 63, so it kind of hit me. It was really tough. And I think that album has some things on it that are directly related to that. And another album I did was Atlantis. And I think when I finished that, it was like, this is really epic, you know? And I like that direction. And that's why I like doing this opera. I like doing that show. I like the big things, you know? I mean, I'd be fine in a coffee house playing with maybe a violinist too, but I like to go for
like
the big stuff.
Big,
yeah, I like the spectacle. And that's probably from being raised on Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and all that stuff.
Oh, how good.
And musicals, you know, big things, you know. So there's so many influences in my head. You know, it's really hard to just sit down and it's just you. Whatever you do, you know, you can't say, oh, that sounds too much like him. It's like it's a filter. You know, stuff goes through the Arkenstone filter in my world. You know, everything that I've experienced from the Beatles before that, Tchaikovsky, studying piano, whatever I did, it's all part of that stew now that when I go to write a song, that's what we end up with.
Do you ever premeditate what will be like and you are sure that that's the goal that you are going after? Or you really, opera or whatever, if you think Celtic, you think, you know, bigger performance on a stage, you must have vision. But do you see results? Do you need to see that's what I want to come out of it? Or you just write because you need to write? And then you are worried how to sell, how to, you know, bring people to the stage. Do you have long vision or short vision?
It's probably a little of both, because when I'm doing a record, I like it to have a cohesion. You know, there's only a couple of records I've done where the songs are just, here's a song, here's a song, here's a song. They don't relate to each other.
Yeah.
The whole thing needs to sound like something to me. And that's probably just because that's what I like to listen to.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you listen to symphonies or an old Yes album, they have a cohesion going through it. And I just like listening to that. So now I've come to the realization that I make music that I want to listen to. So that's a good way to start, because that's what I listen to most.
Yeah.
If I write a song, I listen to it in the car. I listen to it a million times while I'm mixing it. So I have to like it. So it has to be, hopefully I can leave the stuff that isn't so good, you know, in the digital cyberspace.
No, you just make another CD and you say, I thought it's not good. And then you find out it's number one everywhere.
You never know about that either.
That's what the hottest, like, yes.
Well, that's not our favorite song. Let's put it last.
People buy the most.
Song. That's right.
Anyway, I know everything what you write, everything what you compose, everything what you arrange, and production has a high, high quality of emotions and keeps us going and coming back to you. That's why you are artists of our age.
Yeah, well.
You know, and hopefully we'll be 200 years from now when you decide that is enough, your opera will still shine and the rest of it. We have a beautiful song as Lullaby you mentioned, and I think people will enjoy this evening, but I'm sure we'll still have time to say bye-bye a little bit. Okay, David Arkenstone, Invisible.
Not really a lot.
To say, I will not even call this a lullaby. This is just a beautiful song.
It's beautiful.
For sure, it's not invisible. This album hopefully will be very, very, very visible. That's we wish you, of course, that. And Charlie Brooks, David Arkenstone. I don't know what to say. I'm proud to be your friend, and I'm very honored to know this great artist. Jeff, I know you'll take him away from me proudly and you'll be talking about something really, really that I have no idea about sound of many great guitars, and maybe you both will strike a deal, and I don't know what the next guitar will be in David's hands when he'll be rocking stage in different way. Then I need to say bye-bye for today. The show went very, very fast. I know the also, David, you like a little bit dance music. I think something.
I
know I cannot wait that one day we'll create some cool.
I'm working on a trance album right now.
Come on. Okay. Now then, one day we'll create something together. For right now, I need to say bye-bye to Jeff Loro, David Arkenstone, Charlie Brooks. And for maybe 1 minute, Ilona Europa, Eternal Keys, Club Junkies, new song in radio promotion, and next month. Bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.